This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. We were going to talk about people who build their entire life on lies, and that's why they'll never, ever, ever allow the truth to seep in. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. We'll get to some emails on everything from Red Lobster to politics to fighting cheetahs. All that and so much more coming up in the final hour on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, you remember, Chris, actually grab those Whoopi Goldberg comments about Iran and black people in America. Just grab that real quick. I just should have told you beforehand, but grab that real quick when you have a second. But we played it for you, I think it was last week. And I could have grabbed a million cuts of a million different people saying something similar. But Whoopi Goldberg, they were discussing Iran, and she said this.
But let's just remember, too, the Iranians literally throw gay people off of buildings. They don't adhere to basic human rights.
Listen, here's the thing. Let's not do that, because if we start with that, We have been known in this country to tie gay folks to the car.
Where the Iranian regime is today, they used to just keep hanging
black people.
So it is not even the same. That's not what you mean to say.
It is the same.
No, it's not. The year 2025 of the United States is nothing like if I step foot wearing this outfit in Tehran, killed for
I'm sorry.
I can't have my hair showing. I can't wear a skirt. I can't have my arms out.
I'm telling you, it was up to the Iranian people.
Yes, okay.
That's why I am saying that it is the same. What I heard was not what you meant.
I think it's very different to live in the United States in 2025 than it is to live in Iran.
Not if you're black.
Not for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And she was widely crushed for that, lampooned for that. Wesley Hunt, he's a congressman actually from my area in Houston, Texas, and I know Wesley. He's a funny dude. He went on Bill Maher's show. Bill Maher asked him about it.
What do you think of Whoopi Goldberg saying it's worse to be a black person in America today than a woman in Iran?
My district in the great state of Texas is actually a white majority district that President Trump would have won by 25 points. As I said, I'm a direct descendant of a slave. My great-great-grandfather was born on Rosedale Plantation. I am literally being judged not by the color of my skin, but by the content of my character. That's the progress because, like, a lot of white people had to vote for me. A lot.
So I
don't even ever want to hear Whoopi Goldberg's conversation about how it's worse to be black in America right now. That's a bit far. And my father, who's 75 years old, he was a man that was in the French Quarter.
So why does she say it? And this goes beyond Whoopi Goldberg. It goes beyond, honestly, it goes beyond the black issue. But let's focus on Why would you say something so patently absurd? There's no metric you could use to... Why would you say something? Well, think about this. I want you to think for a moment about the number of people. We'll make it about Whoopi Goldberg, but it's about so much more than her. How many people in this country have built an entire career, their life's work, has been based on, I won't say a lie, but on something that is now a lie? How can they now come out and essentially take apart their entire life? I'll use this terrible example. This is a terrible analogy, but I'll use it. The American Heart Association. It's all about taking care of your heart. You know what? Forget about that. American Cancer Society. You've heard of them. Cancer, cancer, cancer. Going to cure cancer, cure cancer, cure cancer. How large is the American Cancer Society? I won't bore you with the details. It's enormous. How much money do they take in? A lot. How many people make a generous salary working at the American Cancer Society? Now, imagine you're sitting at the American Cancer Society. You're 55 years old. You make $250,000 a year, watching your big fat 401k grow more and more and more and more every single day. And you hear a rumor that someone has actually come up with the cure for cancer, which I think we all want that. Doesn't cancer touch us all? The cure for cancer. Are you happy? Or has your entire life's work, including your career, has it all just come apart in an instant? Without being a victim in America, what happens to Whoopi Goldberg? The entirety of her life has been based on that exact concept. So if it's not like that anymore, she becomes nothing. I've talked about this before when it comes to just your liberal Aunt Peggy, where she will say something that is a black and white lie. The Charlottesville Very Fine People hoax is actually a great example of this. Joe Biden ran for president telling people he'd made that decision because Donald Trump called Nazis very fine people. Democrat after Democrat, in fact, Jasmine Crockett said it today, referenced that lie. Now, that is a lie that is on camera. Donald Trump, what he said it on camera. I don't need you to pull it up, Chris, thank you, but I don't need it. We played it for you 100 times on this show. That's not what he said, and it's verifiable by videotape. You can watch him. You can listen to it. It's a verifiable black and white lie. Why won't your liberal Aunt Peggy accept that? Here's why. If she accepts that that is a lie, just that one stupid thing, a comment about Charlottesville that no one even talks about anymore, no one even cares about it anymore, but if she accepts that one lie, if she acknowledges that it's a lie, then it's not true. For you, that's a basic single subject thing. Hey, just call it a lie. You just watched it on video. It's a lie. Why won't you admit it's a lie? Why she won't admit it's a lie is because it's so much more than one issue for her. If every part of the system, if the media, if Democrats, the education system, Hollywood, if all the evil communist parts of the system, if they've told her a verifiable lie and she acknowledges that, it's her entire worldview that has been destroyed. Because remember, it's her religion. It's a born-again Christian. Maybe you are one, but I'm sure you know some. Right? A born-again Christian? What does a born-again Christian believe? That Jesus was the Son of God, came down here, died for our sins, was resurrected after 3 days, so everybody who believes in him can go to heaven. That's what a born-again Christian believes. And a born-again Christian, their entire life, it will be framed by that reality. Believe in Jesus, follow Jesus, go to heaven. Their entire life will be framed by that. What if you woke up one day and somebody could show you black and white proof that that's not true? Now, that's not going to happen, don't get me wrong, but What if somebody could show a born-again Christian, that was all a lie? Can you even accept that when you've based your entire life around it? That's how liberal Aunt Peggy, Whoopi Goldberg, all of them, that's how committed they are to clinging to things that have no resemblance to reality at all. If they acknowledge it, if Whoopi Goldberg and her millions of dollars and her fancy limousine private jet lifestyle, if she stands up on stage and acknowledges that the oppression of black people in America is long gone, and it's so far gone to the point that now it's reversed itself and white people can't get a job in corporate America anymore. If she was to acknowledge that, that would be a basic black and white truth that you would probably appreciate if she'd acknowledge. But what becomes of her entire worldview if that's true? It's gone. Her whole, she would rather ride the lie all the way into the grave because the truth destroys her entire life. It takes apart her entire life's work. So she can't do it. So guys like Wesley Hunt step up and say, what are you talking? That's ridiculous. Oppression and all that. That's crazy stuff. But she needs it to be true so much that no matter what you show her, no matter what you tell her, even if she knows you're being right, she will not allow herself to voice it. It's a sick place to be. It is. But that's what happens when you base your life on lies. When you base your life on lies, the truth is destructive. It's like the lie of abortion. How many women in this country have had one? Many. Maybe you've had one. Not judging you. I've done many bad things in my life too. But how many women who loudly campaign, you see them out there in the streets, kill them all, how many of them are out there because if they just acknowledge the reality of what they've done, the pain is too much? What if we could stop that pain before it got there by introducing that mother to her baby before she kills it? That's what an ultrasound is. It's introducing a woman to her baby by ultrasound. And it's honestly, it's more audio than visual. It's the heartbeat that gets them. You get a woman in for an ultrasound, she'll choose life almost every single time, because when you're listening to that little heartbeat in your belly, it's hard to say it's a clump of cells. It becomes your baby. Preborn gives those ultrasounds. You in preborn give those ultrasounds. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give them $28. It's all tax deductible. Give them as much as you want. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you to email the show love, hate, death threats, whatever you would like, to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, the Red Lobster CEO is on TV saying the Hush Puppies are back, as well as the other fan favorites. CEO said his name, but I couldn't understand him. Replayed it several times. He's young and talked too fast. Sorry, I'm old and I'm from the South. They need to open up more locations. Hope things are turning around for Red. He says his name is Brian. Look, okay, first, there are a couple things that really, really bother me right now that are going on. Really, really bother me. One of the main ones is I'm seeing a lot of people say Red Lobster is back. Red Lobster never left. I know about the whole bankruptcy thing. They were never going to stay down. Muhammad Ali didn't stay down. Red Lobster was never going to stay down. The preeminent American seafood restaurant was never going to stay down. So that's one of the things. Don't call it trash, Chris. You can't even eat there. You people can't even eat there. Oh, yeah, I guess they do have fish. There's no way they're making it kosher, buddy. No, there's no way. And even if they tell you they are, Chris, I would not believe that. Anyway, that bothered me. Red Lobster's back. Red Lobster's back. Red Lobster never left, sir. That's one. Two, the Hush Puppies. I've been seeing that they have Hush Puppies now. Maybe I'm just getting old. I'm 43. You know, we went out to dinner last night. We had a family dinner. We don't usually do that during the week, but we had an opportunity to go out and have a late family dinner after the show. We go out to a saloon. It was a saloon and restaurant, just a little family restaurant place, burgers, fries, but they have steaks there. They have a 22-ounce porterhouse steak. Now, there was a time when young Jesse could have taken down a 22-ounce porterhouse. That time has passed me by. I get a 14-ounce ribeye or something like that, and it's about all I can handle. My 16-year-old ordered the 22-ounce ribeye. The waiter laughed, and then James destroyed the entire thing. Back to Red Lobster. You already have the Cheddar Bay biscuits. Why do you need hush puppies? And I'm a hush puppy guy. Long John Silver's used to have the best hush puppies. I don't have one in my area, so I haven't been in a while, but they used to have amazing hush puppies. I love hush puppies. I'm a hush puppy fan. If I eat Cheddar Bay biscuits and I eat hush puppies, I'm not going to be able to eat any of the other delicious menu items like the shrimp scampi or the Cajun shrimp Alfredo. I don't like it. I don't think it was a necessary introduction, and that's what I'm putting out there. In fact, I think as soon as this segment's over, I'm going to email the CEO and let him know that I don't approve. Chris, can you people eat hush puppies? Are those kosher? Is it just cornmeal? I never knew that. I never knew actually what was in them. All I knew is they were delicious. So don't say Red Lobster's back. It's not back. It never left. Jesse, I'm glad to hear you have a plan in place in case you ever get in a fight with a cheetah. You never know when something like that may happen, and it's better to be prepared than not. Right, so people laugh when I say that I believe I can defeat a cheetah in unarmed combat. But this may save your life one day, so I'm going to explain something. There are wounds that are painful, and then there are wounds that are deadly, okay? And those are not always the same thing. If I get in a fight with a cheetah, it's like 140 pounds. I outweigh a cheetah by 100 pounds. If I get in a fight with a cheetah, I am not under the impression that I'm going to dominate or be unscathed. I know that I will be wounded. I know that I will bleed. But how is the cheetah going to kill me? It has to get to my throat. If it doesn't get to my throat, my jugular, those major arteries, if it doesn't get to that, it would have to maybe get lucky and try to cut my femoral artery, which is inside my legs, but it's not going to know about that. It would have to get to my throat to kill me. If it can't get to my throat, and it's only 140 pounds, if I can keep it away from my throat and I can withstand the pain that I know will come from the claws and the cuts, again, I know I'll need stitches. I know I will bleed. If I can withstand the pain, it's just all about pain tolerance. If I can keep it away from my throat and withstand the pain, I don't see how we can win. Chris, am I crazy in all this? Tell me, was that a bad theory? Am I crazy? Yes, barehanded. Yes, no weapons. Chris said, I think you need a knife. Okay, buddy, I'll take a knife, but I'm talking about unarmed combat. It's not even a complicated plan. Wrap my hands around his throat. That will keep his face, his sharp teeth away from my throat and squeeze. My plan is basic run-of-the-mill suffocation. And I know that I'm going to have claw marks. I know he's going to be fighting, especially when he sees the light going out of his eyes. But I'm telling you, I have huge, strong hands. As everybody knows, if I can just keep a hold of his throat, I can win. And you can laugh at that all you want. I maybe just saved your life one day. It's all about pain tolerance. I don't think the cheetah can give me mortal wounds. I don't think he can kill me before I can kill him. And I stand by it. Let's get back to politics next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
This is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and a proud American citizen. I'm celebrating America's 250th birthday on my podcast, Newt's World, with 15 special episodes. And I've got some great guests, Walter Isaacson, Jonathan Turley, Bret Baier.
I will be working because it's a big, big day. I'll be in Washington and have all kinds of coverage through the day of America 250.
Rachel Campos Duffy.
There's nothing like American music. We're the home of rock and roll. We're the home of rap. We're the home of pop music.
Eric Metaxas. Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors, along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
The story of the national anthem and the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Join me, and let's celebrate America's 250. Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, and you should know that Jewish producer Chris, who had previously scoffed at my cheetah-killing claims, is now campaigning for himself, thinking that he can kill it as well. This is what happens when we talk through the proper techniques. And look, I shot a gopher earlier today. I think I know how to handle big game. I can handle a cheetah. Did you hear what this guy said after the ICE raids in Los Angeles?
My name's Antonio Gallo. I'm one of the owners of Casa Fina restaurant in Boyle Heights. It's been a staple in the area of Boyle Heights. Normally on Father's Day, we're packed. We have people waiting about 20 minutes. On that Sunday, I mean, it was just, there was nobody there. Right, folks were afraid to come out, and now we have to consider about what do we do with our employees, right? We have no money coming in. It's just the raids in the city, and it's scaring our folks.
How much of the American economy has been built on slave labor? It happens. We've discussed before, you and I, when the Roman Republic fell and it stopped being a republic led by the Senate. And one of the main, probably the main reason that came to be is the Roman elite massively imported slaves. They'd win these wars, they'd bring in slaves, and those middle-class jobs, the Romans, they started losing their jobs because the slaves were doing it all, slave labor. And all these angry Roman citizens were rising up and complaining about this. What are you doing? You're giving away our jobs. Yet the elite were so committed to slave labor, it was like a drug they couldn't break themselves away from. How much of the American economy is hooked on slave labor? An unbelievable amount. An unbelievable amount. And the states, especially the blue states, California in particular, I think if these mass deportations, well, if we're calling them that, if the deportations continue like this, I think there's a chance we see changes in California that we don't see coming. The drastic changes where we look around and say, wait, what? I think 20 million under Joe Biden is probably close to an accurate number. But I had been told by people I trust the number before Joe Biden took over was 30 million, 40 million. We could be 60, 70 million illegals in this country. That's what we could have here. How much of our economy, how much of our country is hooked on foreign slave labor? And how much will this country change, and in what ways, as we attempt to get ourselves off that drug? It's an interesting thing to think about. Jesse, the condition of the city of Tokyo is the subject of this one. What is the reason Tokyo is so nice and clean? Is it strong cultural values? Is it effective policing? First, let's focus on the people, because that's where much of it is. Remember how many times we've talked about that John Adams quote about the American government, the American system of government, where the federal government is limited and the states really handle things for themselves, this wonderful system of freedom we have. But John Adams said, this form of government will only work for a moral people. You can't have a, quote, free country without a moral people, or the country will turn into a disaster. And I think if we're being honest, we see that everywhere. We have to now pass laws so dudes don't beat up women in sports. We can celebrate these laws all we want, but where are we as a population that we have to have a law saying that? So we see that, right? As far as Japan goes, they are one, a homogenous society. They do not allow immigration there in mass at all. It's simply not allowed. They believe Japan is for Japanese people, and they don't apologize for that at all. Here in America, we have been completely poisoned with this ridiculous concept that everybody from around the world should be able to come here if they want. That's a crazy, it's an insane concept, and completely against what the founders wanted too. The United States of America, many of our citizens believe that the inscription on the Statue of Liberty should be America's immigration policy. Bring us your tired, your poor, your wretched masses. Yeah, I encourage you to go start a country and operate your immigration system in that way. Hey, whoever's poor, whoever's tired, whatever, come on in. Let me know how it works. Japan doesn't do that. They just say, no, you can't come. Nope, can't come. Nope, you're not allowed. So it's a homogenous society of Japanese people that creates a culture that is consistent, a consistent culture. It is that they are a family-based culture. And yes, there is effective policing, but a lot of what we see here in America with crime and the filth of the cities, it's because we tolerate these things, Democrats encourage these things, and it's because we don't have any kind of a homogenous culture. Remember the rumors about the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio? And you could never suss out what was real, what was not. A lot of people swore, well, they are eating pets. They're not eating pets. They're not eating that. But maybe the solution is you don't bring people into your community who will cook your cat. That way you don't need to be vigilant about it. You don't need laws against it. You don't have to stress it at all. You know those aren't your cultural values. And so you say, no, you're not welcome here. Your culture is incompatible with our culture. And countries that exist for a long time, that's how they operate. And Chris said that sounds too radical. Obviously, he's kidding, but that's how nations have operated forever. But in this country, we are so poisoned with these crazy concepts for years that we think that we somehow have an obligation to do. Well, I mean, if you wait really long, you should be able to come here. If you want it really bad, I mean, whoever. What? No. A consistent culture. The fact that we have you ever seen the videos of the modern Mall of America in Minneapolis? The fact that we have a place in Minneapolis called Little Somalia. Somalia is a disgusting country run by warlords. They mutilate their females in ways that I won't go into. A disgusting country. One of the worst places on the planet. And yet American politicians, left and right, have imported Somalis into this country by the thousand. Completely incompatible with America. Completely incompatible with our culture here. And this is the point I've made over and over and over again about Ilhan Omar. In fact, I made it a couple days ago. But it's not just her. It's a lot. We look at Ilhan Omar and she'll say some traitorous thing like, I'm here for Somalis. America's always sucked. Or she'll say whatever crazy latest thing she said. And we'll say, well, she should be kicked out of Congress. She should be deported. She should be. That is taking ibuprofen for a headache when you have a brain tumor. If you don't want Ilhan Omars, if you don't want those types of people in Congress, then you won't massively import the type of people who will vote that person into Congress. The root of the problem is America has thrown open its borders for ages. The left does it because they want to destroy the country. The right does it because we have a very neutered American version of Christianity that is not real, that somehow we have these skinny jeans wearing losers in our churches that tell the congregation that they should allow every barbarian in because that's what Jesus would want, which is ridiculous. And that has created this toxic stew where, well, everybody should come here. It's crazy. Nuts. It'd be like not giving your dog rough greens. Why wouldn't you do that? That's a crazy thing to do. Give your dog just dog food for 10 years and then, well, I wonder why he died at 10. Well, you gave him a fast food double cheeseburger every meal for 10 years. Yeah, he ate it, tasted good, but it was all dead, empty calories. Ab and I went through this with Fred. He had like the salmon flavored food, but then we got the wrong bag and now he got the lamb flavored food. But what difference does it freaking make? It's all dead. It's all empty calories. The only nutrition Fred gets is from the table scraps the boys give him under the table when Ab isn't looking and from rough greens, which we sprinkle on his food. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics. We have seen so many physical differences in Fred and Lord knows Fred needed the help. Do you want to try it? Free Jumpstart trial bags, 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of the show, including my cheetah killing techniques, which I went over earlier in the show, if you would like to know how to engage a cheetah in hand-to-hand combat and win, you can download any part of the show on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. Hey, Jesse. As you spoke about the Tucker/Ted Cruz arguing, I thought about the movie 1776, which showed the infighting among our founding fathers. So I agree debate is healthy. Look, foreign policy is complicated. It has always been complicated, and it always will be. And there are so many different motivations and different ways of seeing things. And you're going to want one thing because you care very deeply about this, but I'm going to want something totally opposite because I feel very deeply about that. It's all complicated. We should not shy away from debate ourselves, and we shouldn't hate it when our side has debates. The communists don't ever have these kind of debates. Not really. They have the savage animals slowly but surely running out every moderate voice and dragging their party into full-blown Maoism. It's good that we have people arguing on our side. It keeps people on their toes. It keeps people in check. I like it that people with this whole, with Russia, Ukraine, they were doing it. With Israel, Iran, they are doing it. People are arguing, having an opinion. Not everybody, but most of the GOP approved of the airstrike.
Yeah, you know, I think there's this idea, okay, maybe the MAGA base wouldn't necessarily like this. Look, this is Donald Trump's Republican Party. That's why I think it's so important to note GOP on the U.S. airstrikes in Iran, 76% in the average of the two polls approve, compared to just 18% who disapprove. Now, I will note that is a bit higher than Donald Trump's disapproval rating within the Republican Party. But overall, Republicans are with Donald Trump on this. Tucker Carlson be darned.
Okay. His Tucker comment at the aside at the end. The Republican Party, for the most part, 76% approval, was totally fine with dropping the bombs. That number looks drastically different if it escalates from there. Donald Trump doesn't sound interested in that.
Do you want to see regime change in Iran?
No. If there was, there was. But no, I don't want it. I'd like to see everything calm down as quickly as possible. Regime change takes chaos. And ideally, we don't want to see so much chaos, so we'll see how it does. You know, the Iranians are very good traders, very good business people, and they got a lot of oil. They should be fine. They should be able to rebuild and do a good job. They're never going to have nuclear, but other than that, they should do a great job.
You heard what he said. Hey, they got a lot of oil. They have good stuff. They should be great traders. And this is why he voiced that frustration, why he dropped that F-bomb earlier in the day today with both of them, Israel, Iran, after he announced a ceasefire, which, again, I didn't take it at face value anyway. They started killing each other again.
I don't think so, but I'm not.
Do you believe that Iran is still committed to the cease?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it, too.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because the one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land, I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Upset. Doesn't understand. Why don't you all calm down? I had a peace deal done. Calm down. Trade. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, sounded exactly like he sounded when Ukraine tried to assassinate Putin and then Putin shot rockets into the...
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time. Always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
For Donald Trump, it's a simple equation, and I like how he looks at it. It's a very simple equation. Why don't we just do business? We can stop all this fighting, stop all this killing. I'll trade with you. You trade with me. Let's just do business. That there are parts of the world with long, long grievances with each other that have been going on for generations, and they don't want to do business. They want to kill each other until somebody wins. And then it can be hard for people to understand, but I get it.
And now...
Here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Cambodia bans fruit imports and soap operas from Thailand as border dispute sours. I have no opinion on the Cambodia-Thailand border dispute whatsoever. I have to be honest, it's just the thought of a Thailand soap opera that made me laugh. Priorities. ABC, CBS, NBC spend 0 seconds on Biden's auto pen and 229 minutes on the Karen Reed trial. A reminder that your liberal Aunt Peggy thinks Democrats never do anything wrong because she consumes mainstream media by the hour and she'll never look outside of it. So she lives in a world entirely of make-believe. caring about whatever she's told to care about. Trump pushes Congress to work over a very dumb, hard-headed Fed chair, Powell, ahead of testimony. Powell came out. He said, I don't want to lower interest rates. That has Donald Trump upset beyond belief because Trump wants those things to go down to help the economy. It's a big old ugly mess. And remember, the economy may be a big old ugly mess for some time. That's what happens when you rack up $37 trillion in debt. We are leaving. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. And I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.